Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I want to thank a lot of people for the best experience that we've ever had. It was the first experience. Well, no, we've had two direct experiences with affiliates in the almost three-year history of this radio show being syndicated. The first one, I won't mention. The second one, though, was Salt Lake City. And we were there on Friday, and absolutely the most professional group of people that I have seen in years in putting together our visit there. So I gotta thank the people at Call 910, starting with Natalie Herrera, who is with Clear Channel in Utah and Salt Lake City. What a pro, man. I mean, she put together the broadcast. She put together our accommodations, the private helicopter that flew us in and out, the private limousines, the massages that I got in between commercial breaks. She didn't do any of that. Well, what she did do was she just facilitated a wonderful time for us. We had a beautiful place to stay in up at the Black Bear Lodge, which is in Park City. This place is great. I'm going to learn how to ski just so I can go back to Park City, Utah. It's terrific. And the other thing that has to be said, well, let me just tell you the names of the people that I really want to thank. Natalie Herrera is at the very top of our list. Natalie Urias here in Los Angeles, who helped as well with our travel and with making sure that communication was clear between us and them. It's something that I would like to say, because I'm sure you guys listening, you may not have any idea really of what it takes to get a good remote broadcast going. And frankly, it's nice to have a really nice place to kind of lay your head down after the show and before the show, because there's a lot of things you got to think about and a lot of things you have to stress over in putting a broadcast off. Tom Barberi and his wife Melanie, he's the morning man at Call 910. This guy's had the same job for 32 years. I said, you have no idea what this business is like. This guy has been in the same gig 32 years straight. And I said to him, that's great. I've been, 29 years. I've been at 23 radio stations. So there's a little bit of a difference there in our careers. And then also, Jeff and Sue Foote from ATK and Dave Naponsky from ATK. That guy was tremendous. And Andy Alvarado, who's the remote tech there in Salt Lake City, did a great job. The Silver Lake Lodge, where we broadcast from, all of the tech support from Clear Channel in Salt Lake City. Really cool restaurant in Park City called 350 Main. All of the bottles of Don Julio that I got. All of the free marijuana. I'm kidding. The Attorney General of the state of Utah was there, so I figured that we could go and break every liquor law there was in Utah, and there wouldn't be any problem at all. Speaking of that, it's an interesting state. People think that there's nothing but tight asses living in Utah and Mormons. That cannot be possible with our show doing as well as it does there. And I found out there's a radical undercurrent in Salt Lake City. I mean, there are some places where you think our radio show would be very favorably received, much bigger cities, and it isn't. And in a city like Salt Lake, where everyone thinks there are nothing but constipated Mormons living, and the show's a smash. So we are absolutely thankful for the good support we get there in Salt Lake City. And again, everybody, and if I forget anybody, thank you from the bottom of our heart. And of course, in Park City, that's a town that's north, I guess, about 35 minutes from Salt Lake City. They have the Sundance Film Festival there. And I found out that the locals are not all that enamored of it. You can't really get a restaurant. You can't really get into a restaurant. You can't really do anything because it is just packed with people. They're just crammed in like sardines in a can. And, you know, of course, the locals recognize the Hollywood people right away because they're all in the long black trench coats with the Gucci shoes, slipping and sliding on the ice and looking a little ridiculous for all to see. And they're not skiers. So they're just basically partying, and it's a town where people like to jack back a couple of Jacks and Coke, but nobody's going nuts until the Sundance happens, and then everybody's going ape. They're leaping out of their hot tubs onto the street. They're running up and down the boulevards with no clothes on. In other words, it's really a lot of fun. So that was our experience, and again, our thanks to everybody in Salt Lake City. But they have a liquor law. Now, here's the way it is, and I don't disagree with this. I think it's, in some ways, it's admirable trying to control the alcohol intake of a people. It is, after all, a mood-altering drug. In Utah, number one, you can't get a drink in a restaurant unless you order food. you cannot get two drinks at once. For instance, a beer and a shot. Illegal. You cannot order a beer and a glass of wine. You can't get two drinks. You cannot order what's called a sidecar or an extra shot. For instance, some of you may get a Bloody Mary, and you may want to order an extra shot of vodka on the side. Can't do that legally in Utah. So what happens, and they actually, and I saw this in the airport bar, they have a dispenser or kind of a cap that fits on top of the bottle that electronically measures 1 ounce. You get a 1 ounce pour of hard liquor. I think you're allowed a 4 ounce pour of wines, and there is a sensor on the cap that will track that. They also have on the dispensers, on the taps themselves, if you're pulling beer from the tap or if you're pouring vodka from a well, they have some kind of a ring that locks in 1 ounce and 1 ounce only. So it's a money-making opportunity for the state of Utah. And, of course, I'm the guy that puts the high road spin on it. I'm like, well, I think it's very admirable that they control the liquor intake. And you know, the bartender explains, are you kidding me? Get out of here. It's to make money. Come on, pal. You're going to make more money if you're only pouring one shot. And, yeah, it does sort of control people's intake, I suppose. But here's the fun part, and I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but there are waitresses and waiters in Utah that will give you advice on how to order a drink. Suppose you're the kind of guy, like me, for instance, like to have a little, maybe a tall amber ale and a little shooter, the old Don Julio Blanco. So I say, well, I can't get the beer in the shot, right? No, you cannot. However, say this. I would like a beer, please, and then 3 seconds later, I'd like a shot, please. And so they'll bring you your beer, and then you'll sort of have the shot. And it sort of makes life a little bit easier and easier to understand. Now, if you don't like any of those rules, then you can go into what they call a club, a private club. This is just like any other restaurant or bar, except you pay a membership fee to become a member of the club. $5, $1 in some places, and it's good for 2 weeks, and you can go in and pretty much do whatever you want. That's in a private club, which I'm sure the state of Utah gets a piece of that. So all in all, it presents kind of an interesting and rather humorous thicket of regulations and statutes, whatever, that you have to negotiate when you first get into the state of Utah. But to think for 1 minute that it is some kind of tight-ass, constipated state where nobody has any fun, absolutely wrong, because I didn't go into one place where there weren't people knocking them back big time. And I mean locals, not people from California or people from Vegas. I'm talking about locals who are back there throwing it down pretty good. We're driving into town, and there's one of these old Victorian rundown houses with the shutters falling down, and very, it's kind of rustic looking, cabiny looking, and there's two guys there with the kind, you know, with the insane silver miner beard and the baseball caps, and they're just powering down the Jack Daniels out of a brown bag. And it reminded me of you, Craig, but very fondly. So there's nothing that I would say is tight ass about this state at all. And they welcomed us with open arms, and we had a fabulous time. What did I tell you? Never judge a book by its cover, and don't ever believe all of those stories about how people enjoy themselves, because these guys go ape. And the fact is, Salt Lake City takes to our show and has taken our show much more rapidly, for instance, than Los Angeles did. In L.A., it took us a good long while before we really laid our roots down here. Now, why do you suppose that's the case in Salt Lake and not here? I don't know. I mean, this is a really conservative town. Los Angeles is a very conservative town. But I don't want to get off on any, you know, insular provincial raps about cities. It's just, it's an example. Speaking of L.A., today it's about 186 degrees. We'll get down to a nighttime low of about 125 tonight. Winds are out of the west at half a mile. And everybody is basically pulling their shirts off going down the street here. It's a hot mother in the old town tonight. 1-800-449-8686. And for everybody who tried to get into the broadcast and couldn't, sorry, it was $150 of a table or $150 a person fundraiser. Because we did have some people calling from the area wanted to get into the show, and we had to turn them away like the street scum that they are. But thank you, everybody who did show up and could afford it. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
We got a breaking story right now. We'll go to Bob Bakian in the news copter right now to see what Bob is seeing out there. Bob, go ahead.
Well, Phil, right now, as you probably can imagine, spontaneous demonstrations have broken out all over the South Bay. People are coming out of their homes and literally strangers embracing in the streets right now, Phil. Parties are breaking out all over the west side of town as the news is filtering across the city. Earlier today, we saw a number of people just begin to march down the streets singing. There was music in the parks. We've also seen a group of people here who've gotten a little skinny dipping out here, Phil, in celebration of the news that we've all received just a few hours ago. And naturally, it is just being received in an exuberant way. People all over the city, and I imagine tonight all over the country, celebrating the news that Stephen King will not write another book. It is fantastic, and we talked to Bobby Newcomb about some comments down on the street.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this is true. You know, all that Cujo bullcrap and get out of here.
So, you know, that was just one man, and this lady had an interesting comment.
I don't think he's scary at all.
Yeah.
No, not at all. He never scared me. It? A clown? Sure.
So Stephen King will not write any more of his cornball books. First time thank you, Phil Hendry Show. Deuce!
Well, how about that?
What?
Hi, Lanny.
Hello?
How are you, ma'am?
Very good. How are you, Phil?
Very fine.
Good. My name is Lonnie.
Oh, Lonnie.
Yeah, Lonnie.
Right. As in lawn chair. I thought it was Lanny as in Lanai.
No, that's okay.
Lanai, yeah. Lonnie.
Anyway, I'm from the great state of Utah.
Is that L-A-W-N-I?
No, I spell it L-O-N-N-I.
L-O-N-N-I.
Right.
Let me just get that down. All right. L-A.
No, L-O.
L. What is it again?
L-O-N-N-I.
Is that N as in Mary?
N as in Nancy.
Okay, that's M as in... N as in... Oh, it's on the computer. Hello, N and I. Okay.
So, I'm from the great state of Utah, and I'm from Utah.
Yeah? You're from Utah?
Yes.
Sorry to hear that. I mean, that's tremendous.
No,
where
you
are you
love
from?
It there.
Where are you from?
I'm from Provo.
Now, that's where all of the Mormons are, isn't it, Provo?
Yes, it
yeah,
is.
That's the high concentration of them down there.
Yeah.
Yes.
They'll all be exalted one day soon.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
We're all going to be up yonder and in yonder barnyard? I don't know what it is. But what's the whole story with Mormons and the family tree thing?
Well...
Because we went into this shop, it said LDS reading room, and I said, come on, Maria, let's go in. No, I don't want that cornball. Come on, let's go. Ah, geez, let's go get a drink. No, come on, I want to go in here. So we went in, and a lady came up to us and said, do you want to find out about your family tree?
Right.
And I said, if I said yes, I knew that I was in for about a half-hour lecture. And I said, no, not really. So I left.
Well, Mormons are very big into genealogy and their lineage.
Now, don't Mormons consider themselves to be the record keepers, so to speak?
Well, I guess for the Mormons, yes.
Yeah?
But they like to trace themselves back to Jesus Christ.
Oh,
if
all right.
You will.
Oh, so you guys all go back to Jesus?
Well, I mean, if... If
now, most of my relatives go back
know.
To Art Christ. He was his brother. But I don't go right back to Jesus.
No, Art but is, it's actually a very great state, and I was happy to hear that you're talking positively about it because
cool.
It does get a bad rap.
You know, I like it. It's got a lot of mountains, and it has it's beautiful. It's really cool.
And the people are nice.
Folks are great, yeah.
Yeah,
and we got
yeah.
recognized in the airport a couple of people. You Phil Hendry? Yeah, you go all right, man. You know, shaking my hand, and the bartender was... knew me and the ticket guy and you know and everybody was pretty cool and it's really beautiful, so we just had a blast, you know.
Very
so
good.
I got to thank everybody. It's a cool place.
And one other thing, I noticed that you mentioned the Sundance Film Festival is in Park City, isn't it? At Sundance?
No, Sundance is Redford's ranch,
yeah.
Isn't it? No, I believe
no,
it's
Sundance
in...
is a ski resort that Redford owns.
No, they have it in Park City.
Oh,
and
okay.
there was some confusion until I talked to this cab driver, and I was surprised they have cab drivers in Park City, but they actually do.
Right.
And this guy was funny, and he's the one who gave me that whole Gucci shoe black leather coat line.
That's very true.
And they can't get into any, nobody can get into a restaurant. You can't move. The town is just overflowing. And so I said, hopefully we'll get enough people moving up to Park City that, you know, the movie stars won't want to go there anymore.
Right.
Then, you know, they said maybe this is the last year for that Sundance Film Festival being in Park City. Maybe they're going to move it over to someplace else. And I don't even know whether that film festival continues to do the job that it's supposed to do, because it was originally a film festival for young, independent, broke. It was basically your broke filmmaker film festival. Now there's a lot of Hollywood juice coming in, and there's a lot of big money films that are being pushed, and so it's no longer some guy that made a movie with his credit cards, you know?
Right.
And that, this is a world that neither you or I know, Lonnie. I mean, I'm just I don't know anything about it, you know. Movie people are heavy. I just think radio people are heavy. Movie people are really heavy. Well, thanks for calling.
So. Okay. Hey, thank you.
Bye. I went to a party one time with movie people. Now, those people are big. They're big time. You go to a radio party. Hey, how you doing? Billy Wadsworth here. K-ass. Right, how are you? But then you go to a movie party, and they make movies. So that's $50 million, $100 million for a movie. Pretty soon you're talking about real money, right? All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. And I wanted to mention just one thing about the Emmys, if I could. And I know that maybe you want to talk about the lady that beat her kid up, which I saw that, and I saw how very contrite she was and how miserable she felt. And I don't know why I said this, but I asked a couple of people around here, don't you remember when you were a kid being whacked around? And everybody here pretty much, Craig remembers getting nailed with a belt. Chris got picked up by his armpits and pushed into a wall or something. I remember my mom grabbing my hair and smacking me. Okay? Now, I think there's a generation of people, and maybe we're dying out, but there's a generation of people, those of us maybe in the baby boomer and perhaps a little bit younger, who do remember getting cuffed around a little bit, right? Now, I ain't saying what this lady did is right. I'm not saying that maybe it isn't criminal. I'm just simply saying that parents, I don't care how good they are, sometime they'll haul off and just go ahead and give you a smack. Now, I don't hit our kids. First of all, I'm a stepdad. If I ever hit one of our kids, I would be in a jail cell within minutes. You know, step-parents are not allowed to hit. Parents are. Step-parents do not. If you're a step-parent, do yourself a big favor, Charlie. Don't even lay a hand on the kid, okay? That's me. Don't. Nuh-uh. Mm-mm. But some parents will take the belt, they'll take the hand, they'll whack the ass, or they'll whack the back of the thighs. Sometimes, maybe if they're angry, and I know you're not supposed to punish based on emotion, you should punish based on merit, etc. But sometimes they'll take an open hand and just pow, right across the face. Did you ever get smacked in the face? I saw a kid get smacked across the face when I was in school. So I'm looking at this woman. She loses her temper. Now, she's also, to further compound things, didn't I say I didn't want to talk about this, and now I'm going into talking about it? I was going to talk about the Emmys. Forget the Emmys. I just will continue talking about this. This woman is part of a society known as the Irish Travelers. Have you heard of this group? I never had heard of them until I read the newspaper account. They're a subcultural group here in the United States. They've been here since the mid part of the 19th century. They are like our American version of gypsies. And they travel from town to town doing odd jobs and allegedly involved in scamming people in much the same way that gypsies are allegedly involved in scamming people. And the thought was by a couple of people who call themselves experts of these Irish travelers that she was in the store trying to scam a refund on the pants, got found out and got pissed and went outside and started smacking a kid, maybe because the kid tipped him off. See? Anyway, all of that is to say, we've all been smacked around. Now, if you haven't, maybe you have, I don't know, but there's a whole generation of us that got belted. We got smacked. In fact, were it today, our parents would probably have been arrested. And I wish, in my case, it would have happened, because then I could have used my dad's car for a few weeks. You know what I'm saying? 1-800-449-86.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Nick Nolte checks into rehab, you think? Gee, I don't know. Seemed fine to me when he left the restaurant. Here is Barbara on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Barbara.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
I'm fine.
Listen, this wasn't a smacking. This was a beating. I've been full of rage at times because my kids have, you know, said bad things or acted the wrong way, and I have smacked them once, but this was not a smacking. This was not one slap. This woman was obviously beating this 4.5-year-old little girl.
How do you know?
Who was doing nothing wrong, because we saw it, and it was one after the other.
No, I couldn't. I mean, all I saw was her elbow doing a vigorous thing.
Yeah, well, whatever she was doing didn't look too nice, okay? If she was hitting her...
She might have been churning milk for all we know. I don't know what she was doing.
I don't think so.
You don't think
so,
she had a butter churner back there?
I don't think so. I think she was probably beating the child. It was a beating, and I don't really, you know, I can't understand what a 4.5-year-old would do to deserve this.
If you're an Irish traveler and you need, let me tell you, Barbara, if you're an Irish traveler, you want to kick the crap out of the child.
No,
you want to stick her hand in a garbage disposal.
No, this is ridiculous. This is really...
Well, those Irish
travelers... One thing I do not agree with, Phil, is the fact that this 4.5-year-old little girl is now going to a foster home to add more to her trauma.
Well, wait a minute. If she got the crap kicked out of her, you don't want her going back with this crazy Mick, do you?
No, but maybe a grandparent, maybe a normal sibling, or
you never look a junkyard dog in the eyeball.
This is crazy,
yes,
you know? Now they're going to take her and put her in a foster home with strangers to add more. That I don't agree with. But that she should be jailed, yes, absolutely. I don't think, you know, this type of a person should be out loose, and if she's running all these shows and whatever they're doing, they should all be put in jail.
So shows?
Maybe she's better off in a foster home, you know?
She's running all these Irish traveler shows, huh?
Yeah, maybe she's better off with a nice foster parent.
Well, you know, if her mother's an Irish traveler, her grandma is too.
Yeah, so probably, and her dad, if that's the truth, yeah, she's better off with a good foster home.
I got on an Irish traveler website. You really ought to do this. Seriously, look up Irish traveler. These people...
I never imagined.
Well, they're very interesting people. First of all, they've been around for 150 years. Like, they're our whole American version of gypsies. But what they do is, if you look at the interviews with the elderly people, the older Irish travelers, they say things like, I've never seen anyone buy a house that had come to any good. I love to travel. I'm always in my caravan. Jeez. And they think buying and living in a house is like the way to just turning into a scum. They think people that live in houses are scum.
That's crazy.
It's a wild...
I've never heard of this. I didn't think this existed.
Yeah, check it out. They're interesting.
Yeah,
but
I will.
All I'm saying is I got belted. You did too.
Yeah, I got smacked. I didn't get a belt, but I got smacked. But my cousin got a... You know, her dad was a little bit... That should have been child abuse.
Really?
But I've slapped my daughter, but I slapped my son. The 10-year-old, not yet. He hasn't gotten to the age where he gets real nasty with parents.
Did you ever slap them both at the same time?
No, and it was only one slap, and that did it, you know. And I was full of rage, and then I regretted it. Even then, I said, God, I shouldn't have done that. But this is something else.
Have you ever had a monkey?
A what?
Have you ever had a monkey?
Yeah, no, I haven't had a monkey.
Don't ever slap that.
No, I won't. He'll bite.
All right, Barbara, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Now on to the Emmys. I think we've decided pretty much don't beat your kid. Although I really can't see anything. I don't know what anybody thinks, but the woman is contrite. She said she did the wrong thing. She's an Irish traveler. You know, you never eyeball a junkyard dog. So let's just move on. Stick her in the can for hundreds of thousands of years. Put the kid in a foster home. That's way better. And we've solved the problem. All right. Nice going, America. There you go. Take the kid out of a home where the woman is willing to go to parenting classes and do whatever she has to do. And stick the kid in a foster home where, you know, she comes home from school and there's her foster dad and a wife beater with a bottle of, you know, single barrel, just, why didn't she go to the store? Nothing wrong with that. Now on to the Emmys. Did you watch them? Neither did I. Now on to something else. No, I was watching a little bit of, actually, I'm lying. I didn't see any of the Emmys. I was watching The Sopranos. So am I, what, do you want to take me out and shoot me for that? Sopranos was on, and then Glengarry Glen Ross was on another channel. No, thank you. I'm not watching the Emmys. Forgive me. I don't want to watch them. And here's another reason why I don't watch these award shows. This is hard to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I would rather just be a commercial success than get an award. Now, it's difficult for some of us, perhaps, to recognize that Jay Leno is number one at night in late-night television. And it's difficult for us to recognize that he's number one, and David Letterman is not, and Letterman gets all those Emmys. So I think Letterman's a funny guy, but he doesn't have the ratings compared to Jay. He's got the Emmy, so what? There's shows that win Emmys, and then they go off the air. There's movies that win Oscars, and then they're in the toilet. There's only one business, really, that I know of that doesn't give awards to unsuccessful radio shows. That's this business. The only awards you ever see given out in this business, the guy's numbers are through the ceiling. You never see a show in radio ever honored if it isn't doing big box office. In the movies, they'll do that. They'll give an Academy Award to a movie that stunk the joint and nobody would want to go see it. They'll give an Emmy to a TV show that was canceled, like, as soon as they put the first episode on. The guy said, Bob, let's get this pile off the... I mean, seriously, two episodes in, forget it. 13 and out. Roger. So, the Emmys, they don't mean diddly. They don't mean diddly, Jim. Bo? They don't mean diddly, Bo. Now, I'm doing this TV show, and I don't want to belabor the point, because I don't think I'm any kind of a Hollywood guy. You know, if the moon aligns with Venus or whatever, maybe we'll get on the air. I don't want to win an Emmy. I want to get that thing on the schedule year in and year out, so the scratch starts rolling in, so they back the dump truck full of money up to my front door and go, "What do you want, Mr. Hendry?" "Oh, I don't know. The front lawn will be fine." Big bags of gold doubloons. That's what I want. Awards, go yank it someplace, okay? There's your award, okay? You got 5 minutes in the bathroom. Have fun. And they got more award shows. You know what they do with these award shows? They have, now I got a thing, the Screen Actors Guild, they got the Actors Awards, and they got another, these are for people that never won an award anywhere else. I'll tell you, it's depressing for me, is what it is. The more I think about the commercial success that these other people have, the less I want to have anything to do with any award. Like Band of Brothers. How many of those have you seen? Like, I've seen a half of one of them. I don't watch the show. I don't know. It's just not turning me on, right? The thing got 85 million Emmys. Jay Leno, when's the last time you watched Jay? Like, maybe once a month? Yeah, guys, he's number one. He's number one. He ain't got no Emmys, though. What was the other show that got all of them? West Wing? Got a whole bunch of them. Of course, it's got ratings, too. Sometimes you get both sides of the coin. But I would rather just forget that. So anyway, the big point, the point I'm trying to make is if we got a TV show on the air, I don't want any Emmys. I just want to be renewed 5 seasons, get the syndication money, and you won't even see the exhaust settle in the parking lot before I am gone. That's all I want. 1-800-449-8686. Rob, how you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I got a little comment about some of the things you said about the mother who disciplined her child, as you say. I can say that I was spanked as a child and had the belt taken to me, but there's a big difference between that and beating up your 4-year-old. And I think that's obvious.
Where did they take the belt to you?
Because I did things I wasn't supposed to.
No, but I mean, where did they hit you?
In the backside, in the legs, in those areas. Not in the face,
the back,
around the head.
In the back?
Not really, no. Just in those areas where they knew they could get my attention and do that. But I don't think that's the point. I think...
I don't know. I mean, did they raise any welts on you? Did they bruise you?
No, it never got that serious. Absolutely
never,
not.
Never got red?
Yeah, of course, yes. But that has nothing to do with the fact that this woman... beat up her child in a...
If you had received bruises from those beatings with the belt, you would say that has nothing to do with it?
No, I don't think so at all.
Well, you know that a bruise indicates abuse. And if your parents had bruised you, they would have gone to jail.
Yeah.
So you say it has nothing to do with it, but it has everything to do with it. I don't care where they hit you. If your parents hit you with a belt on the back or on the legs and created a bruise...
It's
under the law of under today's law, they would have been incarcerated.
Okay. Well,
all right?
Sure, I understand that.
So that's why I say it does have something to do with it.
Okay. I'll see that. But you can't tell me that's acceptable for a mother to do to a 4-year-old.
Didn't say that. Never said that. In fact,
well,
I'm trying to differentiate.
To.
I beg your pardon?
That's how it sounds.
Well, I apologize if that's how it sounds. I don't mean to make it sound that way. you may be taking it that way, but maybe I'm making it sound that way. But what I'm trying to say is, I think if we're all honest with ourselves, there's a fair number of us who got whacked around pretty good as kids.
Sure, sure.
We got it with the belt. We got it with the hand. We got it with the on the ass. We got it on the back. We got it on the legs. Maybe we got our face smacked a couple of times. What about parents who slap the mouths of their kids when they use an obscenity or a profanity?
Absolutely. But there's a point to that. And there didn't seem to be a point to what I saw at all on that videotape.
Well, wait a minute. Now, you can't say that. What do you mean there's a point to it? I don't want to. If we start getting into if there's a good reason for it, then it's okay. Then we're going down a bad road
here. I don't think that's what I'm trying to say is there's never a point to that. There's never a point to take there's a dispute of whether she closed her fist or not. Whether or not that happened, that doesn't matter. But to beat a child like that is unacceptable. And I really think that the only reason she feels contrite and sorry is that she got caught.
Well, boy, you're willing to attribute all kinds of nefarious motivations to this woman. Maybe she's really sorry.
Well, she may be, but she hasn't proven to me that she is.
Well, what could she do?
That's what I have to go on.
What could she do to prove?
She beat her child.
What could she prove to you to make you believe that she's sorry?
That she what could she do?
Yeah.
I guess I would have to know her.
All right. Well, then we're making all kinds of assumptions here, and we don't even know her, do we? So I guess that's up for the court. Let me ask you something. What about sticking soap in a kid's mouth?
Does that leave welts? And that doesn't.
Well, I don't know that it's exactly via eats. Huh?
That doesn't scar a child psychologically as much as a beating. A flat-out beating, and that's what that was.
All right. Okay. I think that maybe you got a little bit something in your childhood that you're not telling us about here, man.
I have nothing. I don't even know you, but I have nothing to hide at all.
Well, no, it's not that whether we know each other, but you're very angry about it.
I'm angry about seeing a mother beat her child. Yes,
I am too. But when I brought up the fact that you don't know whether she's honestly contrite, you were not willing to even give her that much.
Okay. Well, let me say this: what I saw proved to me that she had no control over disciplining her child.
All right.
Okay.
Good enough.
That's my point.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks. Bye. No, Craig, I'm not going to ask a caller whether they ever had any rectal burning. How dare you? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Now here's another number, 1-800-288-1000. That's what that's the number you call to go to Vegas with us. It's happening this Friday night and Saturday night, and for $348, here's what you get: two nights for two people at the beautiful Luxor in Las Vegas, two passes to the Oasis Spa, two tickets to the King Tut Museum. You'll also be a VIP at either one of our parties or both. We'll be having a Henry Happy Hour and a live broadcast this Friday night from Las Vegas at the Luxor. And then on Saturday night, we have a Blues and Brews party from the Luxor in Las Vegas. That's Saturday night. We'll also have a contest, do one of my characters for prizes. You know what I mean? Do the voice of one of my characters for a prize. Craig, go for it, babe. I know you've always had a thing for Margaret. Also, along with all of that wonderful stuff, you'll be able to go into the Raw Nightclub following the broadcast. So check that out. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'll take a very fast phone call, then we're going to go to hear what Bobby Dooley has to say about this. Hello, Tiffany?
Yes, hi. I was calling about Madeline Nogood. It's disgusting what the media is doing.
What's the media doing, dear?
Well, just constantly having it on. She was on the Today Show. That really brings them down to the lowest form of earth. But she deserves.
Wait a minute.
To be put the
media.
For
the media is telling you about it, and now you're putting the media down for telling you about it.
To put her on the Today Show.
Is she entitled to be heard from?
Not really.
Oh.
I mean, I think she was heard from enough by the cameras. That was enough. She didn't need to say anything. Anybody who could do that to a four-year-old is mental.
So why don't we just throw her in jail without a trial? You want to put her in jail without a trial?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you know what country you live in?
Yes, I do.
What's the name of it?
the USA.
Really? You've heard of a thing called the Constitution, have you? I'm just curious.
What about the rights of this little girl?
No, I'm just curious. Have you ever heard of the United States Constitution?
Absolutely.
Have you ever heard of it? Did you study it in school?
Absolutely.
Really? You know it has articles and amendments and all kinds of things, right?
Yep.
Okay. Do you know that there's a thing called presumption of innocence? And the reason why we have that is because back in the day when the British ran us, we were just thrown into jails without a trial. But today we have something called television. And what's great about TV is it tells us the truth. We can sit with our thumb up our ass and listen to what the man tells us, and we don't have to decide. We don't even have to have a trial. We can just say, put him in jail. Right?
No, we didn't hear, we saw.
Ah, it wasn't, but the almighty immortal television showed us, right?
Right.
Great. God bless. Bow to the almighty immortal television. Bow, because all it is truth dispensing, and we can sit with our ever-widening ass on the TV and watch the show, and it tells us the truth, and we don't need judges, we don't need lawyers, we don't need courtrooms, we don't need justice. The TV gives us the truth. Correct?
No, not correct. However, a tape gives us the truth.
Ah, the tape gives us the truth.
Correct.
Well, then we don't need to have a trial.
She can have her trial.
Why?
I don't see her getting too far.
Why? Why should she have a trial? The tape knows all.
That's right.
So let's not give the trial.
So let a judge decide.
Why?
Any
Why
judge
would, we
let, would be out of his mind.
The tape has
a 4-year-old.
The tape
feed
has
on
told
a 4-year-old.
Us. The tape has told us.
Right.
Yes, all hail the tape. All praise be to the TV.
So someone who can do that to a 4-year-old,
because
really,
the tape told us.
You know, I'd like to bash her in the face. I'd like to do to her what she did to her daughter.
All hail to the tape. All hail to the television, Tiffany.
Thank God it was on tape.
TV gives you the truth. You go watch some more TV now, Tiff.
Do I what?
Go watch some more television. It's about to dispense more nuggets of truth.
Well, I don't have a lot of time to watch television.
That's
and
too
I don't
bad,
have a
of all the
fat
truth.
Ass. However, I saw the tape.
The
I watched
tape knows
what the
all.
Woman did.
The tape knows all.
Yeah, it showed her beating her child.
Yes, all right, thanks. I got it, thank you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, go to the TV. Supplicate to the TV. Kneel to the tape. And absorb the truth that is there for you from all of the pundits, the Hannity and Combs, and the Larry Kings. They'll tell you. They'll tell you everything you need to know. You don't need to think about anything. You don't need to open a book. You don't need to open. You don't even know, you need to get out of bed. Because all you got to do is turn on the radio or the TV. They will tell all. They know all. And the tape tells us she's guilty. String her up. All right. Great country. And guess what? I make a living at it. Thank you.
Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I know we've interrupted you, Bob. You're having an in-store demonstration. But as the manager of a store, if you see a mother beating a child...
Well, if you're asking what the store is supposed to do when we have a mother abusing a child, and it's difficult to make a determination because you don't want to get involved in something that is none of your business.
But the lady that was beating her child on the videotape, if you saw that, what would you do?
As a store manager.
As the manager of a grocery store, yeah.
And I need to ask you, was this outside of a grocery store, Phil? Or
I think it was outside of a department store.
All right. A department store.
Yeah.
Well, what we do in my business is we make a determination, number one, who started it? How did it start? If the child started it, I don't know that it's none of my business, unless it gets out of hand. You don't want to call the police, because what happens is you get a lot of squad cars parked out in front of the store and can damage the reputation of the store. But what I do is this, Phil. If I determine that the child started it and it is getting out of hand, we try to distract the mother in such a way as she will not continue to abuse or to hit the child, even though the child might have started it.
Well, how do you determine whether the child started it.
You can ask the mother, you can ask the child, how did this start? And a lot of times you'll find out that the child started it.
Well, when you say distract, what do you mean by that?
You have to understand something, Phil. We're vulnerable to lawsuits. So if I put my hands on that woman, she can sue me. What we do is we'll go to the store microphone. We have an in-store PA system. And I can get on the PA and say something to the effect that we're having a special on ladies' products, feminine hygiene, what have you. And that will sometimes get their attention. There's a half off on meat, whatever. Like this week, we're doing two cans of Del Monte split pea soup. You get two cans for $2. You get three cans for $2.50. This sometimes will distract them. But whatever you do, I can't get involved in.
Well, why don't you just call the police?
Again, if I call the police and it turns out that the kid started it, she can sue me. And the police are called out for no reason.
All right. I'm talking to Robert Green. He's the owner, actually the manager of Frazier's Grocery, Frazier's Food Market in Buena Park, California. Question. You say that if the kid started it...
If the kid started it, then the mother... Obviously, I'm not going to get involved in a mother disciplining her child. If for some reason a lot of the mothers use a grocery store as their own private dogfighting ring with their kid, and Frazier Foods is not going to have anything to do with that. Now, if the mother started it, if it's her fault, then I break out our video camera and we will begin to tape it, which is what they did there at Cole. And I'm sure the employee that videotaped that did the right thing. The first thing you want to do when you see a mother beating on her child like that is break out that video camera, get some lighting, and roll the tape. And that way you're going to have some evidence. And look at this, you know, look at this, what's the guy's name in... The black guy...
Rodney King.
Rodney King. They had a videotape of that, see? And then the next thing you know, they got the cops. So that's what we do. We break out the videotape, and then I go over to show her. I'll say, look, I got it on tape, and I tell her to stop. Now, if it still doesn't stop, I'll tell her to take it outside, and then I ban her from the store. And
when do you call the police, Mr. Green, is what I'm asking you.
I got a mom-pa operation here, Mr. Henry. I get squad cars pulling up. It isn't good for business. And if I'm getting, of course, if I'm getting held up, I want the police there.
Well, what if she's almost killing the kid? You saw this woman on tape.
Mr. Henry, first of all, you called me. We're doing a kitchen demonstration in our store, and my understanding from your producer was you were going to ask me questions about the in-store food preparation demonstrations.
I'll be happy to ask you questions about that, but you know that we wanted to ask you about this woman beating on her kid, and you as a store manager, what would you do? Now, what if she's almost killing the kid?
You don't do it in a grocery store. You know, and the kids can do damage, too. You know, you assume that this is all the mother's fault. Let me tell you something. 4 months ago, I was in store here, and I heard screaming coming from aisle 3, which is where our condiments are. And that's generally... I'm sorry, so we have a... Somebody asked me a question. I'm sorry. I heard screaming coming from aisle 3, which is where the condiments are.
Yes, sir.
I went around the corner. I saw a man laying on the ground and a kid biting, holding on and biting his leg. And I will never forget the words I heard him scream, "Get it off of me. Please, God, get it off of me." And I'll tell you what, your blood runs cold when you hear that. And
all right, you seem to make a distinction between whether the kid started it or the adult started it.
Yes, I do. I make a very clear, if the kid started it, I'm going to butt in. That's a parent disciplining a child. I don't want to see the parent go too far. We do get on the PA and say we've got a special on beer or feminine hygiene, whatever pulls to try to distract them, and then I'll obviously do some other things. If the mother started it, I'll videotape it.
Robert Green with us, the manager of Frazier Foods. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 as he talks to us about what he would do as a store manager if he saw people, if he saw a mother or a father beating on the kid.
And Phil, the other thing is, you don't want to give a kid a police record. If the kid started it, if the kid is attacking his father, as I saw this one kid doing to the father, I can tell you something. I spent time when I was a kid in juvenile hall, and I don't want to get graphic, but to this day, I can't sleep on my stomach. And the bottom line is that...
You were in juvenile hall for what, sir?
I pushed my old man around.
You hit your father?
Yes, sir, I did. The bottom line, Phil, is it's a horrible thing, but it's awkward for those of us in the retail business. I'm not God to decide who goes to jail. We in the retail business can't act too quickly because you don't know who started it. You could get sued, and if you get sued, you can kiss 20 years in the produce, assistant managing, and manager business goodbye. If she pleads not guilty, this Irish broad, or the Irish woman that did this?
Yeah.
If she pleads not guilty, she'll sue you for invading her privacy. I mean, not guilty, I should say.
You're afraid that if she pleads not guilty, she can sue Kohl's?
The Irish one, yeah.
And if you did, and if you had a woman videotaped and she wasn't guilty?
She'll sue me. She'll sue me until all of my clothes are off. I'm sorry, but that's literally what we're up against. If we have a mother who comes in and constantly beats on her child around any of our display areas, I get Julie, who's my assistant manager, to make a mental note of who she is and what she's doing.
1-800-449-8686. Speaking here to Robert Green. Here is Christina. Go ahead, Christina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, Mr. Frazier, there's a person beating the crap out of a child in your store. You have a moral duty to call the police, period, to get that taken care of. Let me finish speaking. You had plenty of time to speak.
Yes, ma'am.
For the child's safety, whether your store is in reputation, good or bad, you have the moral reservation to call the police and save the child. Your words right now are bringing your store down. Mama Pop is going down because
Let me respond to what you're saying. First of all, I don't know who started it.
It doesn't matter who started it. A child is getting beat. So there are two children, and they're beating the crap out of each other. So you're going to walk up, okay, did you start it or did you start it? That's ridiculous.
No,
There is something going on in your store that does not belong in the store, and you are responsible morally
to get rid of it and do it legitimately
by calling the police.
I understand that, but I've got Del Monte corn on sale $5 for $1. Now, I've got exactly...
about no Del Monte beans. When some child is getting beat, if a mom is in that mode that she's so mad, she's beating the crap out of a child the way this lady was, she's not going to care about your beans on sale.
No, I understand. I'm not trying to say that my store is more important than the life of a child, but what I am saying is that... if I said that, I apologize. I am exposing my rear end to a lawsuit if I go in there and grab that Irish woman.
No one's telling you to grab nobody. You call the police.
No, if I call the police and say she'll say who called the police.
If you're being robbed and there's a gun to your head, are you going to ask, did my cashier start it or did the bank robber or did the robber start it?
I can get sued. I can get sued if she pleads not guilty. Then she'll say Robert Green of Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, is the piece of crap that called the cops on me, and I'm going to sue him, too.
Well, now, wait just a minute here. Are we so involved in a litigious society that a man is afraid of saving the life of a child for fear that he is going to get sued?
That's exactly what I'm stating. Your words, Mr. Frazier, are really bringing your store. You're caring more about the reputation of a store. So how are you going to feel when you walk down aisle 10 because a mom killed her child because you didn't want to get involved or get sued? How are you going to feel when you start seeing the memorials of a 4-year-old dead there?
Now, let me ask you this.
How are you going to feel, Mr. Frazier?
Listen, my name is Green, ma'am. The name of my store is Frazier. But
Frazier Green, whatever it is. You're not speaking properly, moralistically, and I hope to God you don't have children.
Let me put the shoe on the other foot. I go down the aisle, as I did 4 months ago, and there's a kid hanging on a guy's leg, and he is screaming. You want that kid to go to juvenile hall?
How old was the kid?
I don't know, like 5 or 6. I mean, biting the guy's leg. Is the lady there, or I don't know.
Christina, you there? She's got
I'm here.
All right. Well, look, anyway, we got to take a run here. Our number is 1-800.
I mean, if the adult will sign a promissory contract that they will not sue, I can step in and stop the child from being beaten.
So otherwise, you won't do anything. You'll let a child being beaten, and you will...
Mr. Henry, this is ambush journalism. You were going to come on tonight to talk about our in-store demonstration of making you know, appetizers and...
I understand I wanted to do that, but I want... And you also understood that I was going to talk to you about this. And you're telling me that in your store, if a child is being beaten by a parent, you will not intercede unless they sign a promissory note that they will not sue you.
That is correct, but it is not as...
Well, that is ridiculous. It's not even practical.
It is not as difficult as it sounds because most stores keep them on hand, and we do have copies.
Well, I'd like to know if other store owners, other retail managers, and just other people...
Look, Mr. Henry, I will not put me or my staff in jeopardy by breaking up a fight between a kid and a mother. Somebody's going to get hurt. My cashiers get paid $18 an hour. They don't get paid for refereeing some bloodbath between some woman and some kid. That's why I say, take it outside.
You're serious?
I'm about as serious as my business. I do $2-3 million a year. It's not big, but it's all I got.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. I'm curious if there are people who believe that in the situation that man has described, where he's afraid he could get sued if he breaks up a fight between a mother and child, would you do the same thing? Would you back off? Would you let the fight get to a point where maybe you could try to scare the mother off with a videotape or this or that or something else? Or would you go ahead and call the police and let them sue you? We live in a very litigious society. There's no doubt about it. People are afraid of getting sued. That man says he's afraid of losing his business. I can understand that, but for God's sake. And this guy who was screaming because some kid was hanging on his leg. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
One 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Go ahead, Bob.
Phil, I just the point that I wanted to make was my moral dilemma is that I would.
This is not a moral dilemma that you're having. I mean, if you see a woman beating her kid in your store, you're a grocery store manager, you stop it.
No, I would beg to differ because of course I don't want to see a child hurt, and I don't want to see a parent hurt, but. I'm sure that people agree with me when I say the following thing. I don't want to get sued, and that's where the line is drawn. Of course, we don't want to see children get abused, but we also don't want to get sued. And I'm sure that people that are listening to your show right now, if they knew they were going to get sued, they wouldn't stop a child from being beaten.
If they knew they were going to get sued...
If they knew they were going to get sued, they would not stop a parent from beating the child. Because, Mr. Henry, we live in a day and an age right now where you simply cannot take the chance. You're going to lose your ass. And this grocery store is all I got. Right now, we're having a kitchen demonstration. If I could get some mentions in about that.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to, you know, if you're going to get an attitude.
Go ahead. Get in your mention.
We're having an in-store demonstration on how to make bruschettas and other starters. And we have a chef that comes in once a week. From San Francisco, big deal. And tonight we're cooking Hot Pockets. And for you to come on and accuse me of being immoral, I think is...
Well, sir, I'm not trying to say that you're immoral. Nobody's saying that you've committed a crime. I'm saying, though, that this woman who beat her child, this woman on the videotape who smacked her kid around, you would not stop... Because you don't...
No, I didn't say that. I would let her know that I'm taping it. I would let her know that if she didn't stop, then we would turn the tape into the news, whatever the news organizations are.
What about the police? Every time I mention the police to you, this is something that you just don't seem to want to go near.
We'd give it to the police, but again, if I get involved in her arrest, then I could get sued.
So who do you give the videotape to?
You can give it to America's... And I don't want to say America's Funniest Videos, but that is a beginning. And
you don't give a videotape like that to America's...
No, of course you don't. They're not going to put it on the air. But you've got to give it to some news-gathering organization. The other thing you have to keep...
You're going to give that tape to America's Funniest Home Videos.
Somebody, anybody that will review it and then give it to the police.
Why don't you take the videotape of the... I can't even believe you and I are having this conversation, all right? You take the...
Well, you're the guy that brought it up. I wanted to show people how to make Clams Casino. And
I all right, okay. You take the videotape and give it to the police.
I can get sued.
So then why don't you take the videotape and give it to a news organization?
Again, I could get sued. But by sending it to America's Funniest Home Videos, then they can't sue me.
Why?
Because I didn't give it to a news agency. They would. The people at America's Funniest Home Videos give it to the news agency. And the other thing, Phil, that you have to know about children, they're like rubber. They fall down, they fall off of bikes, they're fine. They fall down, they're fine. I can't tell you the number of times when I was a kid I was thrown downstairs and it was a terrible childhood that I had, but nothing ever happened to me. And
well, kids also die from the beatings that they receive, and they also are hospitalized from the beatings that they receive. And
this kid that got beaten up by this Irish broad, what happened to her?
And when you say Irish broad...
Excuse me, by the Irish woman, what happened to her?
The kid is apparently fine.
There you go. See what I'm saying?
But that's not the point. The point is that it happened. The point that it could have been a violation of the law, that they say that the kid wasn't bruised.
All right, and that's another point. So you're going to step in the middle of that, you're going to break that up, and what do you think's going to happen? You're going to get sued, and the kid wasn't marked. See, this is the reason why I'm saying, I bet you anything that I'm giving everybody out there in your audience food for thought. All those big mouths out there that I've been listening to on the talk shows thinking the lady should have been arrested, now that I come on and say this stuff, guess what? Now they know that maybe I've got a point. A woman, by the way, when she smacks a kid, women couldn't hurt a fly. That's something else you have to understand.
You know, I read a book, but hold on for just a minute. I read a book.
And if the video of that mother in Indiana was played on America's Funniest Videos between the gal getting, that one woman getting knocked off the pony and Uncle Larry getting bit by a goose, nobody would have said squat. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and again, you got to understand this. That woman whacked that kid six ways to sunset, and the kid wasn't marked.
Hold on for a minute. You say women can't hurt anybody?
Yeah.
All right. I read a book called A Death in White Bear Lake about some woman that beat her son to death.
When was that?
In the early 1960s. And she beat the kid to death, and they never even incarcerated her or even put her on trial for it for another 30 years when they finally began digging things up. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Is the Phil Henry Show here. We're talking to Robert Greene.
We got to understand, women were stronger then.
Okay, so women were stronger in the early 60s. He says that, A, you can't break up a fight like that. You could get sued. B, the woman that smacked that kid didn't put a mark on the kid. And C, women can't hurt kids anyway. 1-800-449-8686. Maybe he's making some points here about getting sued. You're going to step in when you could lose your business, you could lose your home? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
That's great. Good, Rochette.
All right, we're back. Mr. Greene, I know you're having a demonstration of cooking at your grocery store, but we're talking about something a little bit more serious, and that is the beating of children in stores and how you stop it.
I understand that, but you need to understand, I got a business here. On Friday nights, we have cooking demonstrations. I had a kid get out of hand 2 months ago when we were doing spring rolls. And this kid got out of hand, $300 worth of walks ruined, because some brat, and I say that, Mr.
You know, we got a child that was beaten pretty badly by her mother in that parking lot on videotape.
I understand that, but I still say, some brat took out $300 worth of walks. We were doing spring rolls in sesame oil. So who pays for that?
You do, I guess. If the child, did the kid do it on purpose?
It's another one of these kids getting out of hand, and the mother was taking disciplinary action. Somehow the kid got thrown into some pots. Actually, the mother got thrown into the pots first, and then the kid. It was a very equal fight, and this is what I'm talking about.
An equal fight between a mother and her kid.
Again, Mr. Henry, they're like rubber. And you're going to tell me some woman is going to really cause damage?
I told you about that Olsen woman in Minnesota.
And as I said, they're stronger back then.
They're stronger back then?
Yes, sir.
Let me go to Charlie. Hi, Charlie. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
Yeah, I'm listening at this guy, man. First of all, he don't seem like he ever was a kid or even a half kid.
I was in juvenile hall, sir, when I was a kid.
Well, I'm an ex-correctional officer, and I own a trucking company, sir. And if I saw a woman beating a kid, I think you're a punk for acting like you're acting on this show. And if I saw a woman beating a kid, sir, I would beat that woman and call the police after I get through beating her and let her see how I feel.
You can kiss that trucking company goodbye after.
Well, that's all right. You know what? Kids mean more to me than a trucking company.
Wait a minute. You two got, Mr. Henry and this gentleman, Charlie, you two guys are talking pretty big.
And you know what? Like I said, I did two tours of Vietnam, sir. I have took
innocent... Well, you didn't say that.
I have took innocent kids' lives, and then I got to come to America, which is supposed to be a free country, and watch people abuse and misuse children? No, I don't think so.
All right, can I ask you a question? What am I supposed to do when I'm doing my Friday night cooking show, a cooking demonstration?
Right.
We're doing spring rolls, and some kid decides to pour the sesame oil all over everything.
Well, you're supposed to clean it up,
Sit
the kid down, took a minute of your busy money-making schedule, and talk to the kid in a nice manner and say, young kid, look, you're not supposed to do this. Don't act this way. Give him something. That kid would respect you appreciate you more than you being an ass and probably jumping all over the kid.
Okay, sesame oil, that's $3.49. We got it on sale. It's $3.49.
What is $3.49, sir?
That's what the sesame oil costs with the spring.
Well, goddamn, sir, you can't afford $3.49. You just said you made major money.
Sir, with all due respect.
You know what? Your point ain't even valid. I don't even know why the radio guy ain't hung up on your ass, because you ain't an asshole.
Well, a lot of the things...
Hold on, Mr. Andrew. I want to respond to this gentleman. With all due respect to your career as a correctional officer, Charlie, I am not going to have a Cheerios mountain display ruined by some mother taking 3 years off of her kid's ass.
Listen to me, sir. Listen to me. I cooked for 15 years, sir, and food don't cost that much. Right now, I'm probably bringing some broccoli to you wherever you at, because I'm driving an 18-wheeler. Sir, you know what? You don't have no love for children. You hate kids.
I love kids, but I love my business, too. And look,
well, you know what? You sit up and watch your mama beat a kid like that woman beat that kid. You ain't much of a man.
I got to tell you something. With all due respect to you, if I saw you beating up a woman in my parking lot, I'd have to come out and take care of your ass.
Well, why not a kid? That kid can't help himself. A woman can't fight back. Don't hit women or you don't hit kids.
Charlie, can I ask
That's the bottom line.
Can I ask you a question? If you're pulling broccoli into my store, do you pull it around back?
No, I won't, sir. I'm going to make you come out front and get it because you don't protect kids.
Well, I don't like a lot of you folks coming through the front door.
Okay.
Well, you know what?
You know what?
I probably got more class in my pinky finger than you got in your whole body.
No doubt, Charlie.
Charlie, just pull the truck around back. I can't
have sir, that. I don't even want to talk to you.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't blame you, Charlie.
You're a disgrace to manhood. Dude, you are a disgrace to manhood.
What kind of broccoli from North Carolina?
Never mind where the broccoli's from.
Talk show host.
Yes, sir.
You have a nice day.
Yeah.
And you need to hang up on that idiot because he's a punk.
Well, Charlie, do you know how long it takes to make a Cheerios Mountain? I guess he doesn't appreciate that.
A Cheerios Mountain?
Yeah.
A Cheerios Mountain.
Yeah, you know, where you put the boxes.
I know what they look like. So you got your Cheerios Mountain display ruined.
I got a mother and a kid swinging each other around by their hair, yeah.
And let's not forget your Del Monte corn display.
Now, that I got two cans for $2.
I got to understand how much it's for. But you're sitting here talking about...
Frosted Cheerios, and it's a snowy mountain, too. Plus, we got the Frosted Flakes and the honey...
Gosh, shut up. All right, well, there you go. That's Bob Green. He's the manager of Fraser Food in Buena Park. What?
I bet you that Charlie'd have a different tune if it was about the collard greens.
Aha. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686.
The voice there of Robert Greene was performed by me, Phil Henry. I did that voice. The people that called in thought he was a real guy. They thought he was a real guy, and it was me doing the voice of that guy. All right, that's the Phil Henry Show. Here's a little selection from last week. Deb Turner, she is a lesbian from New York who believes that George Bush's saber-rattling on Iraq has something to do with a father-son competition between himself and George 41. Let's listen to Deb Turner.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Common sense means watching more C-SPAN and less movies. To have an idea of what's going on in our world.
I'm asking you, Gina, to understand that it is a possibility that somewhere in George Bush Jr.'s life, there was a violent struggle with his father. And I'm talking...
Literally.
Literally. Yes.
Okay, and I appreciate the fact, you know, that you want to psychoanalyze the Bushes. That's fine. Everybody
has
the right
to
do that.
And could you imagine George Bush slapping his own father across the face?
Okay, first of all...
I think
George Bush Sr. is not in office. George Bush Jr. is in office. And I do not think that half of America would have, you know, which are women. There's a lot of women in America who voted for George Bush Jr.
Then you understand.
Of which I was one.
You understand he has this all wrong because there were no Iraqis on that plane that struck New York. There were no Iraqis on the plane that struck Washington.
Do you understand the concept of a clear and present danger to the United States? Is it, why do we have to?
Right, excuse me, ma'am, I've
listened to you. I'm asking you to listen to me.
And he slapped his own father in the face.
Ma'am.
Let the lady
finish.
We're
not talking about a father-to-son conflict. We're talking about a clear and present danger to our country. And I'm not talking about a clear and present danger in the movies.
Well,
I'm talking about
saying.
A real clear and present danger.
You told me not to mention movies. Now you mention a book.
I'm just saying, you're probably going to make an analogy to it.
It's a term that is used. Yeah, it's a term used in intelligence circles.
It's not a movie. It's not Rebel Without a Cause.
I think all women recognize this pain that George is going through because we see how fathers ignore their sons.
I am a woman, and I don't know what you're talking about. I watch C-SPAN when I want information. I don't watch movies and try to bring correlations between the president... The ruler of the free world, you know,
I'm saying if we could recognize that somewhere in George Bush's past, there was a violent, violent struggle in the living room with his father.
Do you understand?
His father over a sofa the way James Dean did.
You don't know that he did that. You don't know he threw George Bush Sr. over a sofa in the living room.
Okay.
Then why is he trying to get his father's love?
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Didn't she also say later on in the hour that maybe his father and he were tag-teaming the same woman? And yeah, they were, oh God, they were tag-teaming a black, huh? Yeah, she was like a maid or something, and she was African-American, and they were tag-teaming, and somehow that has resulted in a threatened invasion of Iraq. That only on the Phil Henry Show does that stuff happen. Does that crap come out? And when people say, wow, Phil, you don't make any freaking sense on that show, I say, yeah, maybe not. I don't know. It seems logical to me. 1-800-449-8686. Las Vegas. That's right. Las Vegas this Friday and this Saturday. The Phil Henry Show travels, our third remote in 3 weeks. We were in New York City for the week of 9/11. And, of course, on Saturday night, Friday night, I should say, we enjoyed the fine people of Park City, Utah, and Salt Lake City. And coming up this Friday night, we'll be in Las Vegas for our first ever Phil Henry Show Live at the Luxor Las Vegas Party. That's the 27th through the 29th. I'd like you to call this number, 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000, because it is getting down to the wire now. We're going to cut off sales of these things, and then you won't have no way to get to see us because this is by invitation only. There will be no tickets at the door. And if Vegas is half the fun Utah was, you're in for a real treat, believe it or not. Seriously. So 1-800-288-1000, ask for the Phil Henry package, which includes a two-night stay for two people. That's two-night stay for two people at the Luxor Las Vegas, two passes to the Oasis Spa, two tickets to the King Tut Museum, free admission into the Raw Nightclub and our parties after our parties conclude, and everybody attending will get a special gift from me. Kind of a cool little gift. It's only $348. That's a value that's worth over $500, but it's only $348. So check that out by calling this number, 1-800-288-1000. All right, this is the Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry program where we take talk radio and sort of deconstruct it and do weird things with it. And there's always something to do with talk radio because it is so egregious in its execution by some people, not all people. There's some very talented people involved in this medium, but it's, for the most part, a self-aggrandizing business. And that is, when I say that, this is really what I mean. I mean that there are no people on the air anywhere that are not interested in gaining revenue through ratings. If you think they really care about the things that they're talking about, believe me, it's secondary to the idea of making money and getting numbers. And last hour, I mentioned the Emmys. I hope I never win an Emmy, man. I hope I never win any award. All I want is money, and I want ratings. Now, I may be the only guy in the history of the world to admit that. Honest to God, it may not be a big admission, but I think I'm the only guy in the history of this business to say, all I want are numbers, all I want is audience, all I want is money, all I want is success, commercial success, so that I can continue to take my kids to California Grand Adventure and, you know, stay in the suite there. Kidding, I've never done that, I'd love to. I'm trying to realize my dream. And when I see individuals talking on radio or television about how much they care, that lady that I spoke with not too long ago who said, it's on the videotape. The lady beat her kid, it's on the videotape. What videotape is that? The one that they had on the TV. The one they had on the TV. So the one they had on the TV, it speaks the truth. It speaks the truth, that's all I need to see. She's guilty, don't give her a trial. See, that's the stuff that really begins to tighten my jaws. Oh, I see. We don't need a trial. We don't need anything. All we need is the TV. Wait till I get my TV show. I ain't going to speak any truth. I'm just going to give you the videotape. Because if that's all you want, some people, all they want to do is be able to flip the tube on, listen to whatever the clown there has to say, and then, okay, great, I got my news for the day. Now I can run off and be stupid, okay? Because Charlie, my favorite news anchor, he gives me all the straight scoop. So I'm just going to run off now for the day, and I've got all of my news. And right there on the TV, it says, she beat the kid, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not saying she didn't beat the kid. I'm sure she beat the crap out of the kid. They didn't find any marks on the kid. They didn't find, did anybody know that? They didn't find, now 8 days, somebody says to me, bruises can heal. Not in 8 days, they don't. Not in 8 days, they don't. Just think for a minute. 8 days before they got the kid, understood, she felt bad. She ran, she was scared, she didn't know what to do. She didn't turn herself in. I understand all of that stuff is very, you know, it's very incriminating. That she knew she did something wrong. What I'm saying is, the woman was throwing a lot of punches, but she missed. Therefore, she doesn't go to jail for that. Do you go to jail for missing? No. She was trying to beat the kid, but she just couldn't connect. I think the kid was ducking a few of those shots. Ho, ho, come on. Whoa, ho, whoo. Dancing around a little bit. Didn't nail any of those shots. There's Phil Henry on the radio now making fun of child abuse. Is that it, Henry? Of course I'm not. I just get tired of people assuming certain things happen because the TV told them so. Getting really sick of that. And by the way, need I remind you that there was a little videotape about, let's say about 10 years ago, where it looked pretty much like they were kicking the crap out of some guy on the ground. Guess what? Innocent. Those guys walked. They had to burn a city down, but they walked. Then I'm told there's a rumor that the woman hit the kid for telling her mother that she looked like SpongeBob SquarePants. I think you're kidding me about that, Pelton. So she's wailing on the kid for saying that she looked like SpongeBob SquarePants? I would, too.
You look like SpongeBob SquarePants.
Talk to me like that. See, kids, they can really bug you. Really bug you. But no, you don't ever hit a kid. You never hit a kid and let it show. That's all I'm saying. You always have to. Come on, kids, you know I'm kidding. Every time I talk about, see, you can talk to your kids about this stuff. They know you're kidding. Talk to another adult about it, and they want to turn you into Child Protective Services. Make a joke, they want to turn you into Child Protective Services. Make a couple of cuties, Child Protective Services. Never raised a hand to my kids. Never will. I got better ways to control their behavior, like, oh, geez, I'm sorry, no Xbox. Oh, wow, I'm sorry, no dessert. Oh, not too bad. You don't want to do it? All right, okay. Well, I guess you don't go out on that sleepover this weekend. Oh, really? Well, I guess you can't have your buddies over this weekend. Oh, no kidding. Oh, well, I guess I get the keys to the car this weekend. Let me tell you what. You can get a kid to do whatever you want that kid to do just by taking crap away from him. All you got is even a little three-year-old runt. When they go through that terrible twos and they're screaming their guts bloody murder and you can't shut them up for love or money, you start to, well, I guess you don't get any dessert. And they'll scream, but then they stop. Now, if my daughter said to me that I looked like SpongeBob SquarePants, I'd ground her. I wouldn't. You see what I'm saying? I wouldn't hit her.
You look like SpongeBob SquarePants.
Well, guess what? You're not going over on the sleepover tonight. Well, I'm, and Marie will say, why'd you do that? I said, she called me SpongeBob Square something. I'm not standing for that. No man alive should stand for that. She's grounded for the week. And she'll sit in a room and cry. This is the way my daughter sounds when she cries. What does your daughter sound like? Mine sounds like this. It's not working, Catherine.
Okay.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now watch this. I'll get my kids coming home tonight. Would you stop talking about us on the air? Because people are bugging us at school now. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Chris, you were saying that you met a friend of yours in a bar, and he said he had children.
This is a good friend of mine, Steve Fursey, who just got married. Well, I said just got married about 3 years ago, and he's got two kids, and he's talking like, you know, he was saying basically like he had more. Hold on for a minute. I'm just turning a corner here. He was saying like he had more of a life than me because he has kids. Well, I've been a sperm donor for the last year. I signed a contract with Genetics Plus Fertility Clinic at Sherman Oaks, and I have been screened, and I have donated sperm freely for the past year, and the year's almost up, and I told him I have kids, too, but I feel like I don't know my kids, and, like, I would like to know them. Since 9/11, I'm feeling, you know, feeling funny about that, and I know I probably have 50 kids. If you think about it, there's women out there, and they're my wives in a way.
And so you want to see those children?
Yes, sir, I do, because I believe I have a right to see the kids, to meet the mothers and ask them if they want more sperm or whatever they want to have. I mean, I feel like I need to meet them. I'm asking for pictures of the women. I know that the kids are probably good-looking because I am very good-looking, and I just want to see my kids.
You call these your kids. You've been a sperm donor for a year with Genetics Plus in Sherman Oaks. Is that the name of the company?
Yeah, Genetics Plus. And I was screened, and I made, I've been screened for everything. And so I'm healthy, and I would like to see my kids.
Now, that's the thing. Why do you call these your kids?
Well, if you think about it, they are my kids. I did donate the sperm, and so technically they are my kids. And I don't believe in having a kid out of wedlock, and so technically I think they're my wives. Now, I don't mean that literally.
You don't mean they're your wives like you have to support them or that they should give you money?
No, I don't mean that literally. I'm just saying that at least they're my wives because I donated sperm that made a kid for them. And so in that respect, I think that I have the right to see the children and see my wives, and that's why we've organized a Chris Norton Gift of Life family reunion. The problem is they won't give me the information of who the women are.
The sperm bank?
Yeah, the sperm, the Genetics Plus won't, even though I had talked to one nurse there who said that if I would call back in a week, they would have some partial information, but they haven't come through with it yet. and I think that they're probably trying to protect a woman or something, but I don't mean any harm. I just want to meet my kids.
Chris Norton is a young man. You live in Hermosa Beach. You're a telemarketer?
I'm a marketer for a pharmaceutical firm in Hermosa, yeah.
Okay. And you are donated sperm to a sperm bank, and I take it. Why did you do this?
I'm monetary, partially monetary, and also partially because I want to do something good for the world. I do have, I don't want to be, I don't want to be, like, egotistical or nothing, but I am very good looking. I've been told I'm very good looking. I have very good, I'm very good looking. And I'm also very sexy. I have a sexuality about me that people seem to enjoy, and so I want to pass that along. This is something I want to do. I signed a year contract with them.
And now that the year is up and you met your friend who has three kids of his own, you say you want to see your kids.
I feel that I donated sperm once a week for a year. That's enough to make at least one kid a week, yeah.
And you'd like the names of the women that purchased this sperm or whatever?
Yeah, so I could have just
a... And is this a one-time meeting?
Yes, sir. I just want to meet them one time, the wives and my kids. I mean, I don't mean to call them my wives, but in a way they are. And we'd have a picnic. I have rented out two ballrooms at a local hotel in the Hermosa Beach area, and we've also going to have it catered in if I get the go-ahead, if I get the green light. I've told the caterer that I'm not going to put a deposit down until I do get the green light.
You feel optimistic you're going to get the green light on getting the names of women who you donated sperm and to see those children that you've got, you already hired a caterer?
For the Chris Norton Gift of Life Family
Reunion. I know the name of the reunion, but you've already hired a caterer.
Yes, sir. And I really feel it's important, Mr. Henry, that they do this because I don't want to have to do what I may have to do. And that is...
You say they haven't responded. They won't give you the names.
No.
What is it you think you can do?
Well, if they continue to tell me that they can't give me the names of the women and where my kids are, my manager, Lance Germain, who manages my career, has in his...
What are you, a performer or something?
I'm an aspiring producer-director.
An aspiring... Okay, what does he have?
He has in his office information about me that I didn't tell the sperm bank.
What is it? Are you willing to tell us?
Yes, sir.
What is it?
I'm part Mexican. And,
so what?
Let me explain something to you. I'm blonde, I have green eyes, and the women what bought my sperm, they want a good-looking, sassy man with green eyes and blonde hair, which means one of their grandkids, because I'm part Mexican, could pop out brown. So someone's going down for that, and it ain't going to be me.
Do you think, what is that music?
I'm just listening to some music in my car right now.
Okay, you're telling me that you didn't tell the sperm bank that you're part Mexican, and so one of your kids could...
Well, yeah, so, I don't know who the women are that are listening right now, but they don't know who I am, and I can tell you right now, the sperm bank's going to be in trouble if the women find out that I'm part Mexican.
All right, Chris, there's a lot of things happening here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. A sperm donor, this man, Mr. Norton, wants to meet the women and the kids that he's created. He's a sperm donor. He's been giving sperm for a year. He wants to meet these women, and he wants to meet his kids. If not, he's going to tell the sperm bank something that he didn't tell them right off the bat, and that is that you're part Mexican. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
And that is, you think that's going to induce these women to sue?
I think so, yeah.
Why? Why wouldn't somebody be proud to be part Mexican? One of your kids to be part Mexican?
I guess you don't really know much about,
No, I tell me. Is somebody going to say...
If a woman thought she was having a blonde baby, like what looked like me, then she finds out I'm part Mexican, and one pops out brown, I would say, Mr. Henry, all I want is to see my children, and I have the right to see my children.
And these children that you had by way of this sperm, these children that you had by way of donating sperm to these women are your children?
Yes, sir, they are. Yes, sir, they are.
Why did you withhold the fact that you were part Mexican when you donated the sperm?
Because I knew that probably wasn't going to be a big selling point. And
it sounds very racist what you're saying.
Well,
it sounds very racist. You withheld the fact that you're part Mexican because you didn't think it was a big selling point.
I didn't say so, no. And I'm sure the women that wanted my sperm saw that I was very good looking, that I'm blonde, that I'm cut, that I'm ripped. that I have green eyes, that I have a very sensuous mouth. I have a very sensuous sort of Brad Pitt mouth. Then all of a sudden they find out, they think they're getting a sensuous looking guy, and one of the kids comes out. One of the kids comes out Mexican. I'm sure that that's
not going to make them happy.
No, sir, I don't think so.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, and the Phil Hendry Show. Does a sperm donor have the right to see his children and to meet the women that he donated sperm to? And does he have the right to call them his children? Does he even have the right to see them? He says, Mr. Norton says, that he wants to see these kids, and if he doesn't, he's going to make it public to the mothers that he's part Mexican, which he thinks will induce a lot of these women to sue the sperm bank, which I think is extremely racist and ignorant on his part, but I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You got paid to donate the sperm, Chris, so why do you think that you should get any more than that?
Because I don't want to see these kids forever. I just want to see them one time, and I'd like to get pictures of them so I can show Steve Percy, because he got married 3 years ago. He's already got two kids, and he thinks he's all that. And I'll say, look, I've been donating sperm for a year.
So this is some kind of ego thing for you?
No, it's not really ego. I mean, why could you call that ego when I donate sperm to give life to these kids? That's why we call it the Chris Norton Gift of Life Reunion. I also, as I said, if they want more of the sperm that I have, they can have it, you know, I can make deals with them for that or anything. But that's just on sand. Plus, they can have sex with me as a bonus if they want.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Kathy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Fine, Kathy.
I just don't understand where Chris is coming from. Number one, I do think he's making very racist statements. Number two, I do think he's an egomaniac, and I think that does play a part into why he wants to see these kids. And I don't know what the litigations are or what understanding he has when he goes in to donate sperm.
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't know why you say I'm racist. I'm not racist. I'm simply saying that I am part Mexican, and that bothers some people.
Well, I personally think that most of those women that go in there are going in there with the hopes of having a healthy, happy child. They've probably already been through a lot to try to get pregnant.
Well,
and yes, you are going to take, there's no guarantees that they are going to have all children blue-eyed and blonde hair.
Well, here's the thing. A friend of mine, Jim Bodine, is black, and they often go, okay, you're black, but that's not the best thing because a lot of white women don't want that.
Well, I would imagine that black couples, you know, black women want black sperm and a white, you know?
No, not always. I mean, sometimes, you know, well, yeah, I guess you're right, but because I've seen white women say, no, I don't want, you know, a black sperm.
Well, I have a cousin out in California that went through this process, and she had quite a detailed sheet on all the possible donors. So I think the people note if you're looking for a black child, you can choose that sperm.
Well, but don't you think if a white woman's looking for a Mexican, they're going to say, I want Mexican?
Wait a second. Well, we're getting way off the point here, okay? The fact is, you want to see these kids.
Well, she's the one to call me racist. I don't even know. Did you say black people have black sperm?
Who?
You.
Yes.
All right, I just didn't know what you were saying. And I don't know what the lady's saying. I mean, I'm part... Jerry, if you was black and got a baby from a sperm donor that looked like Cheech, wouldn't you be pissed? That's all.
Well, another point, too, is I think you have tried to deceive the sperm bank donors, and I think if you announce this fact to them afterwards, they might have a right to pursue legal action
right.
against you.
Exactly.
No, well, that's true, but... I don't want them to do that. I just want to see my kids. And plus, if you're saying I'm being racist, wouldn't that be racist to them?
Well, I don't know. Like I say, I don't...
And I'm going to ask you this. If you're a lady, suppose you go and get sperm and your kid pops out brown or something. Is that cool with you?
All I know is the experience my cousin went through, and when she saw the sheets of information on the sperm donors, and it went through a his, like you say, of your racial origins, everything down to their IQ, religious background, everything like that. So you get a fairly good idea, probably, of what your offspring will look like. But to me personally, if I have a general idea, my kid comes out with brown hair instead of blonde hair, as long as he's healthy, that's not going to be a factor to me. But
yeah,
that's me.
But if the kid come out looking Asian, like with his eyes are slanted, is that going to rise there?
All right, never mind. Look at Kathy.
Well, I think it's important, Miss Eric.
All right, Kathy, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. April, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Norton, sperm donor.
Hello.
April, hi. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I don't think, personally, that he has any right to see them kids. He donated his sperm, and that's the end of it. He got paid for it, and he should be done with it.
Well, why can't I see my kids? Steve Percy has got two kids, and he said that I could not have kids. I simply wanted to prove it to him that I did.
So
go find somebody else to have your kids with, you know?
I'm not interested in being married. See, that's the hang-up about being Steve Percy. He is married, and I don't say nothing wrong with it, but it's not for me.
I mean, it's just crazy.
What's crazy about it?
It's crazy. I mean, you're wanting to see these kids that you've never met before, and you're wanting to see these parents that you've never met before. I mean, you went up there and donated your sperm.
Hold on for a minute. What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry?
What's wrong with you?
There's nothing.
No, not you, April. Sounds like you're choking.
Oh, no. I have a sinus condition, that's all. Look, those kids should know who their father is.
Well, maybe the mothers that, you know, took your sperm or whatever, maybe they're already married and they know who their
right.
father is.
Well, that's not the real father.
It doesn't
that's
matter. I mean, you got paid for it,
No, but that's false advertising. And that's against the law in the United States. You can't say this is your dad when it really isn't. That's false advertising. I know the law. And to say that...
False advertising has to do with selling snow tires, man, not kids and their dads, all right? And blow your nose.
All right, fine.
All right, thanks a lot, April. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Kim. Hi, Kim. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi there. I just have two comments. One, there's a hell of a lot more to being a parent and donating sperm. You want to be his dad? You pay child support for the last 7 years, back child support, and all the current child support, and that doesn't even... Please
watch the language. Hey, Kim, watch your language, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, did you hear what she said?
Go ahead.
There's more to being a parent than donating. You hold them at night when they're sick, you take care of them when they're unhappy, and believe me, any parent that met you would never, ever want to get more sperm for more of your kids.
Okay, may I respond to your insults? Could I respond to the lady?
Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I don't want to be their dad all the time. I just want them to see who the guy was that made them. Okay, what's wrong with that?
Well,
because they're going to be good looking, and I don't...
You can't be a parent whenever you feel like it.
I'm not trying to be.
Or you're not.
Well, am I not, ain't I the dad?
You know, if you're just wanting to prove a point to somebody else that you've got kids, take a picture of somebody else's kid and show it to him and tell him it's yours.
No, because that would be a lie. And the other thing is, I also think the ladies may want to check out more of what I got.
I think they'd be better off not finding out.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like me?
Uh-uh. Not even a little bit. It doesn't matter how good looking you are. You would be a horrible parent.
I'm not saying that. I'm the guy what made them. I deserve at least one day with them. Plus, I'm having it catered.
You didn't make them. A doctor made them.
No, they used my what I got to make them.
That doesn't.
A parent. I'm a lover. Okay, that's my main thing. I make love. I mean, sweet love to women.
And,
oh man, buddy, you know.
What?
You with that sinus problem.
Okay.
All right, listen, Kim, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. And here's Marianne. Marianne, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, well, if they would listen to him that he has no IQ, they probably wouldn't take it, not knowing that he's good-looking or not.
What, you calling me stupid? I didn't even understand what you just said.
No, I'm just saying. It's like
right.
You don't have any IQ at all. You don't understand that you're being detrimental to a person, and what if you don't like the person that's the mother?
Well, I only got to see him the one day. We're going to have a gift of life reunion.
Well...
Because I'm the one that gave him life. we'll have
like
a catered,
I said, everybody,
Red's,
you know, you need a license to fish, and you need a license to drive a car, but they'll let anybody become a father.
Okay, then I'm going to tell them that I'm part Mexican.
Well, then do it. Do what you think, but
yeah.
You know what? They'll probably throw your sperm out then.
Oh, yeah, what a racist.
No.
You're a racist.
No, right. Don't throw it out because you were dishonest.
No, you're a racist. You don't like
Mexican. Oh, yeah, I'm racist,
yeah?
And you're dishonest.
Listen to what you just said.
Well, no, but I'm saying you didn't. I didn't say because you're Mexican. I said that they'll throw it out once you tell them because you're divulging information that you did not divulge when you first filled out the application.
What?
When you filled out the form in the beginning.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and you didn't divulge all the information that you should have. So once they find out that you were dishonest about that, they're not going to take it. You're not credible for anything.
What'd you say? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Will you turn your radio down, man, so you can hear us?
I'm sorry. Look, you crawl on your hands and knees like a reptile to get a tube of my gift of life.
Well, like I said...
My great second aunt's what removed was the 16th Mexican.
All right,
like
look,
said,
thanks a lot.
That isn't what the life
freaking...
is supposed to be about.
Oh, this is
you
such
know?
A bitchin' song. This is a good jam here.
Hey, man, we're still on the air, okay?
Ryan?
We're still on the air, okay? This guy is the father of 50 kids?
I didn't hear you. Look, I don't want to be a dad full time. I'm like a cross between Romeo and Dr. Frankenstein. I make bitchin' babies, and I just want to check out my handiwork, that's all.
Turn it down!
What's that?
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. What a
Show.
You know, on Friday, people are going to be watching us do the show. If you'd like to, you can come to Vegas so you can watch the Phil Henry Show, which is, this is a radio show unlike any other that's ever been. And you really have to watch it to sort of get the full flavor, to get the full scent, to have the full odor just sort of seep right up into your brain. You got to watch it. Seeing's believing, baby, and you can see it on Friday night at the Luxor in Las Vegas. Here's the number to call to get a Phil Henry package. What is a Phil Henry package? Well, you get to be one of the few who actually sees this show. See, we're not like some chump show that just goes out and broadcasts from a van on the corner and gives away gasoline for 4 cents. We're not doing our show from a bar where any chump can walk in and get nickel beer and watch you stand there with your microphone and your dull, boring Opie and Anthony material. This is a whole different thing. This isn't Comb Over Boy standing there and doing six other people's show. You dig what I'm putting down? This show is a unique experience, and in order to really savor it, you got to watch it. Now, there haven't been too many people allowed in here to see the show, but we'll allow you, if you'd like to buy our package, it's the Phil Henry package, 1-800-288-1000. Now, for $348, here's what you get. You get two nights for two people at the beautiful Luxor in Las Vegas. Now, you know, right downstairs is one of the great casinos in all of Las Vegas, as well as the Raw Nightclub. And the Raw Nightclub will be hosting our radio show on Friday night, as well as the Henry Happy Hour. And then again on Saturday night, we're going to have a blues band. I'll be there to sign a few autographs if you like. We'll have a contest to see who can do some shtick, Phil Henry style. We'll be giving away some surprise gifts. We'll be giving away some gift packages, all kinds of stuff. It's all there Saturday night. At our Blues and Brews party. In addition to all of this stuff, you also get into the Raw Nightclub without paying an extra admission. And you also get two tickets to the Oasis Spa, two tickets to the King Tut Museum. And everybody gets a special gift from me, regardless of what you look like, who you are, where you're from, race, creed, religion, it doesn't matter. Unlike some shows. 1-800-288-1000. You call 1-800-449-8686. We ain't going to give you nothing but a hard time. Garen freaking teed. But call this number, 1-800-288-1000, and you are on your way to a momentous evening with you and yours there at the beautiful Luxor in Las Vegas. It's coming up this Friday night. The packages are selling swiftly, surely, and soon there won't be none. 1-800-288-1000. Come on with us to Las Vegas. All right, this is the Phil Henry Show. Now we have a flashback from, who is this? Bobby Dooley. Speaking of the devil, this was our live broadcast from Salt Lake City on Friday night. Here's Bobby Dooley talking about what she does when her sons get out of hand. For instance, when one of them sprays swastikas on a synagogue. Bobby's a good mother. She doesn't hit her kids. She reinforces.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I want to tell Bobby that her three sons are going to be the next sons in a prison because she's raising Jeffrey Dahmer wannabes with no conscience whatsoever. You cannot reaffirm children and turn around and tell them everything that they do is okay, and you are making excuses for them constantly. Inappropriately touching a teacher? Touching a teacher is completely out of the question. You said that he beat up his teacher. There is a huge difference there. Every single thing they do.
Jamie, you are a teacher, and you know this is a very pivotal time in their lives. If we use the wrong kind of punishment, you know we're going to change them forever. He put his hand up his teacher's dress. Big deal. These young boys have hormones.
Excuse me? That is a huge deal.
Hey, teacher,
I can't believe you're moralizing everything like that.
I'm sorry.
Everything they do, they need to be responsible for. You don't need to make
absolutely
excuses for them. You need to teach them right from wrong.
I do teach them right from wrong.
You make excuses for them and you give him pudding pops. That tells you whatever you do is okay. It's not okay. He needs to have consequences. When he
gets
out into the real world, do you think a judge is going to just back down and say that's okay? No, they're going to put him in jail. And that's where they need to be right now. Out of your hands and into somebody who's going to make them responsible for their own actions.
Jamie, the host is trying to say something.
I can handle it. Jamie, this is Phil Henry. I want to ask you something as an educator. If you found a young man, now I'm going to tell you something. If I saw a kid painting swastikas on a synagogue, first thing I want to do is have him scrub them off. The second thing I would do is have him spend every day for the next 6 months in the Holocaust Museum. And is that wrong of me?
Not 6 months. I do think he needs to do some serious research because he has absolutely no respect for human dignity here. And that's the underlying problem.
The two of you have overreacted. So we got Martin Luther King Jr. here. Is that it?
No. He is not overreacting. He has a very valid point. I think 6 months would be a little long. But having him research and understand the culture that they're obviously hating against is a valuable thing.
Can I ask you as a teacher, because you are a teacher, don't you think it's entirely normal for a young boy to want to get a handful of his teacher's rear end?
It is not normal.
If one of my students got a handful of my rear end, I think I would die on that hill because I would reach down and smack the crap out of him.
That's against the law. Your hands should be on your own self.
And you know what? I think that would be something that I would have to go to bat for because that is completely wrong.
You know, Jamie, I'm going to say something. I respect you, but you really have a Rosa Parks complex. You really do want to just sort of be the woman up at the front of the bus, don't you?
No.
Yeah, I really think
your problem is that you constantly make excuses for your kids, and you never listen to anybody's opinion because you think you're right, and you're not. You are damaging the self-esteem of your kids by the way you are treating them.
Mr. Bozell, I got a handful of my teachers rear at one time.
You know what, Mr. Bozell? You're raising three criminals. You know that.
How dare you? And you know, you too, and all of you, everyone, all of you in Utah, you all...
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
They're all what? By the way, that's Steve Dooley, not Bozell. Hey, little continuity problem there, huh? Little continuity problem. Had a great time there in Utah. 1-800-449-8686. That was Bobby from our live show in Salt Lake City. It's the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1 second, we'll be right back. I saw another demonstration on television today of some Arab Americans who felt that there was some profiling going on in the arrest of a Seattle man. And just because he has negative views of the United States is no reason to arrest him or suspect him of aiding and abetting terrorists. Authorities seem to feel that he had some monetary connection to Al-Qaeda, and local community leaders believe that he is simply an African-American Muslim who is critical of the United States and that he's being profiled. And I don't know where the truth lies. Here's a guy, just cutting to another story, in Greensboro, North Carolina, a Sudanese pilot who officials say is being investigated for possible Al-Qaeda links is accused in an affidavit of falsifying immigration documents to stay in the United States. He submitted the forms for this year's U.S. Diversity Immigration Program, which makes 50,000 permanent visas available to people from countries with a low rate of immigration. Now, here's the story on this guy. He had documents that he showed immigration officials in the FBI that had a U.S. visitor's visa issued July 18th, 2000, stamped in it. Well, that expired in October of 2000. Attached was an I-94 form from the Immigration Service, stamped with an entry date of September the 27th. Now, an I-94 is filled out by foreign visitors to record their arrival and departure. It's used to prove that a visitor arrived in the country legally and did not stay beyond the allowed length of stay. And generally, it's like a 6 month. This clown has been here since August or whatever it was here, I believe, July of 2000. 2 years. They also found in a black bag 20 entry forms for U.S. Diversity Immigration Visa Program and a variety of names, dates of birth, and places of birth on all of these forms. This guy was, in other words, trying to falsify documents, as the indictment states. The forms also included a Greensboro address of at least 3 post office boxes and 1 apartment number different from where he lived. Here's a guy that's full of crap, or at least the evidence would seem to appear. Now, what most people are saying in the Arab community is this. If you're going to arrest, investigate, detain, if you're going to arrest, investigate, detain, or otherwise have business as a police officer with an Arab or an Arab American, every single solitary time you do that, that person better be guilty or you're guilty of profiling. That's it in a nutshell. That's it in a nutshell. The Arab community in this country is basically saying it's profiling if the person's innocent, but it's not profiling if they're guilty. Now, I don't know what country you're talking about, but I don't know of any nation in the world that 100% of the time detains, investigates, or otherwise interrogates only guilty people. Every now and again, the cops have a guy in there that's innocent. Every now and again, the guy's innocent. Every now and again, whoa, but the guy ain't guilty. Look at you, stinking profiling pig. Well, wait a minute, man. I'm trying to investigate here. Well, no, you got to be right every time. That's what the Arab American community is basically saying. If you detain an Arab or Arab American, that guy better be guilty of something or you have just profiled. And if you profile, it's racist. And if it's racist, it means that the United States is basically bent on the same destructive course that it was bent on in World War II, to wit, interning a portion of our population. Never mind that nobody has even mentioned interning Arabs or Arab Americans. Never mind that no one has even gone anywhere near the subject of interning or even to any great degree expelling citizens of this country. What we have talked about in the very extreme is detaining and expelling from the country enemy aliens who are guilty of some visa violation, or maybe students from countries that sponsor terrorism and whose student visas, by the way, have expired. Now, what in God's name are people talking about when they say that we are engaged in profiling? Well, here's what they're talking about. We're detaining some people and continuing the investigation of some people, in some instances over the 72-hour period of holding a suspect. According to the laws passed, the Ashcroft-sponsored laws and the laws signed into law by President Bush, it is legal in some instances to detain somebody beyond 72 hours if they are suspected of sabotage, communication with or aiding and abetting terrorists because the country is, quote, at war, end quote, which I personally believe. It's not a groovy-ass World War II Saving Private Ryan, Pearl Harbor, Ben Affleck, you know, bombing the Japs, really awesome, bitchin', made-for-TV, a miniseries war, but it is a war. It doesn't have all the earmarks that we all grew up with Robert Taylor and a machine gun there back to baton, but it's a war nonetheless. And as such, certain security measures have been adopted by a country at war. We have the right to defend ourselves. We have the right to defend ourselves. We would be stupid not to do it. And for anybody, let alone Arab or Arab-American people living in this country, to say that we do not have that right, and therefore every single solitary time that we detain or arrest or otherwise investigate an Arab or Arab-American, they gotta be guilty of something, or we are profiling. It is destructive. In some instances, it is probably intentionally destructive, intentionally divisive. I find that suspicious. What do you think about that? Does that make me some kind of a Nazi? Nobody's telling you you can't work, live, play, drink, party, have sex, or whatever else you want to do in the United States of America. We reserve the right to investigate certain entities and individuals. And yeah, they happen to be Arab and Arab American. In this case, we got a guy there in Greensboro, North Carolina, with all kinds of phony documentation. The guy's a pilot. He's from the Sudan. This is a country known to have sponsored terrorism. He's here illegally on an expired visa. What is that? Are we hassling this guy now? Are you telling me that this is wrong, that this is racist, that this is profiling? You better, I'll tell you what. What is going to happen is only a worsening of the relations between different cultures and communities in this country. Arab Americans, African Americans, European Americans, everybody with a different agenda and everybody at each other's throat because they're sensitive to this idea of profiling and because they believe that there is some violation of the Constitution taking place. And never mind whether this country is going to live another minute, whether we are even going to be able to sit here and have this conversation next year. Whether we're even going to be able, and if I'm engaging in hyperbole, if you think that this is some kind of talk radio guy being hysterical, you know, John Walker Lind was just quoted as saying that there was a plan that had been expressed by Osama bin Laden in the summer of 2001, which called for 3 successive terrorist strikes on the United States, the World Trade Center being just the first, and the second and third would come as devastating attacks that would make the first one look like a freaking block party. Make the World Trade Center look like it was a Girl Scout jamboree. Now, maybe we've been able to disrupt their plans. I personally believe that we have. But the point is, we couldn't have done it without looking towards certain groups that exhibit certain behavior. And some of them, probably all of them, are Arab. A-R-A-B. Arab. Say it out loud. Say it proud. I'm Arab and I'm proud. Whatever you want. That's where it's at. Is that racist? Is that profiling? You have got to be a colossal ignoramus to believe that that is anything other than a country desperately trying to take measures to protect itself using a suspect profile of individuals committing felonies against the United States of America and pursuing it based on that. That is not profiling an entire race of people. And you got to be the world's dumbest human being to think it's anything else. Now, I don't care who or what you are, how much education you got. If a guy's teaching school in South Florida and is known to support organizations which have direct ties to criminal entities that committed murder in this country, yeah, you investigate that guy. Is he Palestinian? Well, I'm really sorry to hear that. Guess what? We're still going to ask him a few questions. And if that guy has the gall to come out on television and say, where are my rights? Well, you do not have a right to commit conspiracy to commit murder. What do you think of that? You don't have that right. You all right? You cool with that? Are you down with that, professor? All right, that's my lesson today in how not to take unnecessary crap in your life, okay? And tomorrow, another lesson in just how we beat the sea at a variety of restaurants in Park City this past Friday night. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget, if you want to party with us on Friday and Saturday night in Las Vegas, Nevada, 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. It is going to be one very large time with a variety of things to do. All right, 1-800-288-1000. The Phil Hendry Show live at the Luxor in Las Vegas this coming Friday night.